All right. Welcome back to another episode, our latest episode of All Things Purple, the only podcast devoted to I'm James, my Baltimore Ravens and Steve's Minnesota Vikings. And Steve, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing good, James. Thank you.
All right, me too. And I'm getting more and more excited as we get closer to really one of the most important days, as far as we're concerned, for our teams and for most teams. This is so important to get the draft picks right because it's the lifeblood of the team. If you don't draft well, you're in trouble in a couple of years. I know we're excited to see how our teams hopefully improve on paper, and then you just never know until they actually get on the field. Thank you all for tuning in. Today, we're going to cover the linebackers, followed by the cornerbacks or defensive backs. And then followed by the safeties. And we're even going to just spend a minute or two talking about some specialists that a team like the Vikings may end up picking, especially in the later rounds, because there's some good kickers out there. So we'll definitely enjoy that. And then please tune in next week, because next week we're going to have our mock draft and which players we really would like to have on our Vikings and on our Ravens, kind of like maybe a handful of special players that we'd love to have on our team. So that'll be next week. That'll be exciting. But why don't we jump right in, unless Steve, you have something else you want to say?
No, I don't. Let's go ahead and go with the linebackers.
Really, I'm going to go from one through five if you're just joining us. We did that the last couple of weeks. I encourage you, if you missed the last couple of weeks talking about different position groups, please go back and give us a listen, and don't forget to like us and give us 5 stars if you like what you're hearing. Steve, the first player that I really like as far as a linebacker is concerned is a man by the name of Edgerrin Cooper, Texas A&M. He's 6'3", 230 pounds. He had 8 sacks last year. Very fast, Steve. Very athletic. Very quick off the edge. Strong hands. He's kind of a bully. That's the word that came to me when I watched not only a few minutes of his highlights, but also some game film on him, and he can play outside linebacker or inside linebacker, in my opinion. He's like a heat-seeking missile is what I think of. So he's special in my opinion. He's an instant playmaker. I have him in the first round, Steve, going early to mid in the first round, in my opinion. Before we go any further, I think it's important, Steve, that we kind of mention what percentage would you say, Steve, for the Vikings might they pick a linebacker, either inside or outside, what percentage of need from 0 to 100 do you think the Vikings might pick a linebacker?
I would say around 10%.
10% for you because you think you're set at linebacker pretty much?
I picked up some in the off season, yes.
Right. Well, that makes sense. Well, for the Ravens, Steve, I think that actually it's a high percentage. I do think it's a position of need. I'm going to go with over 75%. I see them picking somebody, and the Ravens are always looking out for special teams. Coach John Harbaugh coached special teams before he became a head coach. It's a very point of emphasis for the Ravens, the special teams. Because a linebacker, as you draft a linebacker. If he's not starting, let's say you have somebody already there, we're putting him on special teams, and he needs to be a stud on special teams until he begins to start at linebackers. So now that we got the percentages out of the way, Cooper is number one. Number two, I have Tommy Etchenberg, Ohio State. I have him at 6'2", 239. I really like this guy too. Very quick. He's all over the field, Steve, making plays. He's going to put a hit on you every time. Smart, short tackler. I love his motor. He's kind of like the Energizer Bunny. He's always running around, making plays. Another instant playmaker. I have him also in the middle somewhere of the first round, which you know how that is. They can drop a little bit sometimes if there's a run on quarterbacks and things like that. And then I'm going to tell you which one I like best in just a moment. Steve, my third pick at the linebacker position is a man by the name of Jeremiah Trotter Jr. from Clemson. He's at 6 foot, 230 pounds, excellent in coverage. He shoots in low, quite an athlete, in my opinion, very physical. He's a sideline to sideline type of player that I'll be honest, Ray Lewis was another sideline to sideline player. And I'm not saying he's going to be a Ray Lewis, but he reminds me a little of him as far as speed sideline to sideline. Another playmaker, of course, and I think he'll be an asset for any team as far as my third ranked best linebacker. Fourth, Steve, my fourth ranked best linebacker is a man by the name of Peyton Wilson. He's out of NC State, North Carolina State. He's 6'4", 238 pounds. He's a trash talker, which sometimes I like, unless it gets him in trouble. But he usually backs it up. You know, some people trash talk trash, and they don't back it up. This guy seems to do that. Great effort as the others. Smart, patient. He can drop, by the way, as well. He can drop into coverage very well. And I can also see him playing inside and outside. He's that versatile. Nice closing speed. I also see him with a first-round pick. I have him more towards the late first round. And then finally, my number five pick, and then I'd like to hear your thoughts about who I have in my top five. This one, I'm pretty sure, if you're looking up some top five lists for linebacker, he's not going to be in your top five. I just like him anyway. His name is Aaron Casey from Indiana. And I looked at 15 prospects, Steve, and then that's why I narrowed down my five. Aaron Casey, to me, is a real special player. He's 6'2", 235 pounds from Indiana. Yeah, he's a special teams ace. He's great closing speed. I really like him. Another guy with excellent motor. He hits you like a car crash. I see him as a dual threat as far as versus the run and rushing the passer. But in my opinion, he's not as good as the previous four in the sense that I have this guy going in the second round, early to mid second round grade. But I like him more than Barrett from Michigan, for example, or some of the others like Tyron Hopper from Missouri. And there's some other names that I didn't mention, Lufau, Notre Dame. But I like those top five. What do you think of it?
I like him. I noticed you didn't have the linebacker from Michigan, Junior Colson.
I didn't have him because I kind of see him with his size, Steve. That's a great point. I kind of see him kind of as a more of a defensive end sometimes, you know, not linebacker per se, even though probably the list you're looking at has him as a linebacker. I don't see him in that mold. That's why I didn't put him on that list.
You don't have any of Alabama. I know a couple of years ago you picked up a great Alabama linebacker, Queen, I believe, wasn't it?
Yeah, Queen was from LSU. But you know who was from Alabama that I did pick up that you were probably thinking of? Remember C.J. Mosley. He was a player that was very good. Yeah, that's probably who you were thinking of because he was really good, yeah. All-pro.
I know you picked up somebody.
Yes.
You have any linebackers in Alabama?
I do not. I do not. I don't like them. And that's a little bit unheard of because linebackers seem to go from Alabama into the draft pretty high. But they've hit more than they've missed coming out of Alabama, but I didn't like any of them. I have who I have here. I'll tell you what, though, Steve, the guy I would like from this list, I'm going to kind of spill the beans a little bit as far as who I'd like. Tommy Etchenberg from Ohio State. Oh, I'd love to have that guy. If he's there right around when I pick, which is late in the first round, I would be happy with that pick. And like I said, I'm spilling the beans a little bit for next week. I'm not going to get too much more, but that is one of the guys I would like to have. But yeah, there's a lot more really good players. It's just that those are the top five that I would like that stood out from the pack, if you will.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Let's jump right in to our next section, which is corners. And like we talked about last week, and you mentioned, Steve, you can't have enough defensive ends. And I added corners to that as well. And you agree that you just can't have enough, can you?
No, you can't. You always need good corners.
My number one corner, Steve, I'm sure a surprise. I like from Iowa. His name is Cooper DeJean from Iowa, 6'1". And I say he's a surprise because, you know, there's a great one from Alabama I'm going to get to in a moment and one from Toledo in a moment. I like this guy, Cooper DeJean, Iowa, 6'1", 207. I say great vision for him being a corner. He also returns punts very well. Good size at 6'1", playmaker. He is good at baiting the quarterback, which I love to see that. Great anticipation. But then again, you have to be careful with the double move when you anticipate too much as a corner. Close to a lockdown corner, in my opinion. As close of a lockdown corner coming out of the draft, in my opinion, he's in the first round, Steve. Early to mid first round. Early as in top 10, possibly, in my opinion. My second ranked corner coming out in the draft is a man by the name of Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo. And he's at 6'196", was a senior this past year, and he'll make a quarterback pay if the throw is not perfect. Closing speed is good hands. He blitzes also pretty well as a corner blitz. He played pretty much outside, not inside, but outside corner. He's very fluid, which means he could turn his hips very well and run with the wide receiver. Excellent at reading the wide receiver. And I also have a first round grade for him early to mid, a lot like my number one pick. My third pick is the Alabama. And Alabama, just like you said, they always seem to come out with good linebackers. Well, they usually come out with good corners too every year. And this guy, Terrion Arnold from Alabama, is a good one. 6 foot, 196, always shows good effort. Those Alabama players are coached well, it seems like. He can run step by step with most wide receivers. Recognizes plays early, physical, a playmaker. I have also a first round draft grade for him, mid to late. If he's around, you know, the Ravens pick, I'd be happy with him, even though he's not one of my favorite corners. I love Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell ahead of him. My fourth corner that I want to get to is a man by the name of Kyree Jackson, a little bit of a surprise from Oregon. He's 6'3". Now, he's not on a lot of people's lists, I'm sure, but I liked him looking at him. Kyree Jackson, Oregon, 6'3", 195, very vocal, you know, trash talker. But like I said, with the other guy, he backs it up too. Nice reach. He's got a nice long reach, willing to throw body in tackling. I'd like to see that in the corner. He's also an outside corner, not really inside in the slot at all. He blitzes well. He's a bit raw, just a bit raw. But I think he's got a high ceiling. You know, give him some coaching. And when he's ready, I think he'll start for the next 5 years when he's ready, that type of player. So that was my surprise, I think.
That was a surprise.
I know. I knew you'd like that. You like when I give you a little bit of a curveball. My number five corner is TJ Tampa from Iowa State. He's at 6'2", 200 pounds. He's a physical tackler, very confident. You kind of have to be as a corner. Good closing speed. He played outside and inside, so he's very versatile. He doesn't panic on the island, because when you're out there, you're kind of on an island by yourself. Even though I like him, I think there's a drop after my number four pick, Kyree Jackson from Oregon. After that, including TJ Tampa, there's a little bit of a drop in my opinion. I have him in the third round, Steve, early to mid third round. And there's some other good players. Certainly there's another Bama player that I passed over. I'm sure you'll mention that in a moment. But your thoughts?
I think that's pretty good. Yeah, you passed over the other cornerback from Alabama. You had some good ones up there, yes. What is your total grade for these cornerbacks?
Thanks for asking. My total grade this year for the corners coming out is a B minus to a B, you know, somewhere in there, which is still pretty good. And same with the linebackers that we covered. B minus to a B. One thing I'd like to ask you, Steve, and I'll go first to rank the percentage for me for the Ravens, as far as a cornerback is concerned, I think it's 50% or higher. I think the Ravens didn't lose much, but they lost some depth. So I think the Ravens are going to pick up a corner as early as the first, if there's a good one that falls to them as far as best player available. I'll say 50% just to kind of say 50% or more. I think that always could use a corner like we talked about, at least for depth. How about you with your team, the Vikings?
I could see my team picking up a cornerback maybe in the second or third round. I'd say maybe 40 to 50%.
Okay.
You also had Nate Wiggins from Clemson. Is he on your list?
He's okay. Number eight. Yeah. He's eight. Yep. He's eight. I know he's high on a lot of other people's lists. I gave him also a third round grade, which, you know, I also gave my fifth ranked player. And I just think he needs a little more weight, maybe 10 pounds. He's only 185 and 6'2". He's a little thin. He does have good height. But in my opinion, Steve, Nate Wiggins is a boom or bust candidate.
Oh,
he really can go. Yeah, in my opinion, he can go either way. He can be real special or no. One of those boom or bust players. I'm glad you mentioned him because he is high on some other draft lists, I'm sure, just because of the school he went to, and he's also earned that right. So, and also Michigan has, I know, a corner that I have sixth ranked, but Mike Sarenstil from Michigan. I like him sixth, so he just outside my top five. A good year for corners when it's a B. Pretty good. I'm excited about that. Let's jump right into safeties. Safeties is our next position group, Steve, and I'm going to tell you what I think the percentage is that the Ravens may need a safety, I don't think it's very high. I already have two starters that are well paid. So I'm going to say 35%. And I put 35% just really for backup. I need some depth. I did lose a little depth in free agency. So depth is needed. I'll say 35%, more the latter rounds, I would say, maybe on Saturday when it's the fourth through the seventh rounds, maybe there. How about you with your team, the Vikings?
I would say I don't really need one, but if I have a top-rated safety out there, it wouldn't surprise me. So about
Yeah.
30%, I would think.
I know you're getting a little, some of the age concerns with your safety.
Yes.
That would be great to, yeah.
I think that if there's a good safety out there, I think we would pick him up.
Yes, sir. Well, let's talk about the safeties coming out in the draft in just over a week. My number one safety is Tyler Newbin from Minnesota. Yeah, wouldn't that be something if Tyler Newbin from Minnesota goes to Minnesota? He's just a playmaker. He has a nose for the ball, in my opinion, and he creates turnovers. I like him. He's another one that baits the quarterback really well. Reminds me of Ed Reed a little bit. I know that's high praise, but as far as baiting the quarterback, he reminds me of Ed Reed. He also is good at blitzing well. He's instinctive. Maybe towards the 10th pick to the middle, I could even see him dropping, depending on if there's a run on quarterbacks. I can see him dropping a little bit, meaning mid to late first round. But someone that needs a safety, you know how it is. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Someone could take him even top 10, like the last few picks of the top 10. I think he's that good. So I like him. Tyler Newbin from Minnesota. My second pick is a man by the name of Kalen Bullock from USC. He's 6'3", 190. I love his attitude. He's a little thin, but he's driven. He's good at blitzing. Boy, he flies to the ball. Really nice speed with Kalen Bullock. Exceptional athlete. He's a torpedo tackler as far as I'm concerned. And I see him with a first round grade, possibly going into the second round. So first to second round, that would be early second round. I like him, even though I'm sure other lists have others ahead of him. I like him. My third pick, Steve, is someone that might be a surprise for some listeners, a man by the name of Tyke Smith, Georgia. Only 5'10", so that's a little bit of a drawback. 205, but I see him as very instinctive, likes to hit and tackle. I like to see players that are very physical, violent. But he's clean. He's violent, but a clean hitter. He makes plays. He's athletic, good hands, very quick. I also have a first to second round early pick for him at number three. My number four, Steve, is someone named Cameron Kitchens from Miami, actually. And I've watched him a little bit. I told you in our previous episode that, I watch Miami a little bit more. Other college teams, boy, he flies around. He's 6 foot, 205, very athletic, playmaker, good physical tackler, very instinctive. Like I said, a bit undersized. He plays bigger than his weight, good attitude. But I have him as a second round pick, Steve. So that's why he's my fourth player. And then my fifth is Jaden Hicks from Washington State. He's 6'3", 212 pounds, big safety. He good instincts, nose for the ball. He kind of projects more of a strong safety role rather than a free safety. He's going to be a stud on special teams because he blocked field goals. Violent tackler, but I have also a second round pick for his grade and where I think he should go. That's my top five. And I know that there's a player from Georgia
Yes.
named Bullard. Is that maybe you were going to
Yes.
mention him?
Yes.
Yeah,
Bullard
Javon.
from Georgia.
Yes, sir. Javon Bullard. I have him ninth. Top 10's very good. These are the best of the best. So I have him ninth. I have him in the third round, but I know he'll go higher. That's my grade for him. I wrote for him. He pops you with his tackling. He's a tad small at 5'11", but so is the other guy I mentioned from Miami.
What about Renardo Green from Florida State?
From Florida State. I don't have him in my top 10, Steve. Let me just real quick run through 6 through 10. Cole Bishop from Utah, number 6. Number 7, I have Bo Braid from Maryland. My 8 is Jalen Simpson from Auburn. My 9, like I mentioned, is Javon Bullard from Georgia. I have from Wake Forest, number 10, I have Malik Mustafa. That's my top 10. I don't have the young man from Florida State in my top 10, but he's shortly thereafter. Yeah.
Okay.
So
And your overall grade for this safety would be?
My overall grade is almost a 2.6, so it's almost a B minus, but to me it's a C plus because you've got a couple what I call good players to very good players in the first maybe three or so, and then after that, to me, it drops a little bit. So I have like a C
plus.
So
compared to last year's class of safeties, how would you rank this year's?
The same. I wasn't
The
crazy
same?
About last year's. Yeah, I gave it almost a similar grade. I think last year's I gave a C minus, so maybe a little better. I don't see much depth at this position as far as 11 through 15. I see them in the fourth, fifth round. So not a lot of studs or, in my opinion, very good players at the safety position past the top 3 to 5. Like we've talked about before, it's just my opinion. Maybe they'll be, be a great, year for safeties. We'll wait and see. Well, the last position, Steve, is going to be quick because there, it's not too many kickers to look at. The specialists. Really, I'm thinking about the Vikings, Steve. Talking about a percentage where a kicker might be drafted for the Vikings, what percent would you give it? And, maybe it's after the draft you might pick up somebody.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Vikings pick up a kicker like in the seventh round or the sixth round. I could see him picking up a kicker in the sixth or seventh round. And I think it would be, I think it's 50% chance that I would get a kicker in the sixth or seventh round, maybe.
I happen to agree with you. I agree with you. I think for the Ravens, there's a 0% chance, there's 0% chance. Yeah. But, they do like bringing in kickers to help, alleviate Justin Tucker's workload for sure. But yeah, I agree with you, 50% or higher. I'll even say if they love somebody, they may even pick him in the fifth round. I could see it like a late fifth round. And let me just run through a couple names. My favorite kicker that I checked out four of them. Okay.
Okay.
My favorite kicker is a man by the name of Joshua Cardy from Stanford. Joshua Cardy from Stanford. He is a powerful field goal kicker, in my opinion. Very accurate. When I say powerful, he hit a 61 yarder for Stanford and it wasn't even a problem. I mean, it could have kept going. Yeah. Very accurate, as I mentioned, which would be great if he can translate that over to the NFL. He's going to be, in my opinion, a very solid to very good kicker. Definitely thought of your team when I was checking out these kickers, Steve. Joshua Cardy's my number one. My number two kicker, and I did not go top five because I didn't find five that I liked. But my number two kicker is a man by the name of Noah Rauschenberg from Texas. That's where Justin Tucker went a decade ago. And this guy's very accurate. It seems like they produce pretty good kickers. You really can't go wrong here with Noah Rauschenberg. He had an interesting number 99 in college, but he was really, really good and very dependable. He caught my eye, definitely. So I like him, but I like Joshua Cardy first. I thought, I got to have at least three. So my third ranked kicker is someone from Iowa. His name is Torrey Taylor from Iowa. Honestly, I see he's a kicker on really not going to help your team, Steve, because he's more of a punter, punter kicker type, but he's more of a punter than a kicker. So he really is more for kickoffs. He can do kickoffs and maybe back up your kicker, to be honest with you. He's really great at punting, though, I have to say. And he's from Australia. What an interesting story that I found about him on YouTube. I looked up his story. He's a really good story. Punter from Australia, very smart, very accurate, but not as much of a kicker as my previous two. So my previous two kickers, which again is Joshua Cardy and also Noah Rauschenberg, I really like them for your team, Steve. Torrey Taylor is more of a specialist, meaning punter, yep, he can be a great punter for the next 10 years for somebody, but also a backup to, like, let's say your kicker gets hurt. He can go in and do a good job in the short term. Those are the names that I came up with. There were some other kickers, too, that I didn't like, so I didn't even mention them. There's one from Alabama, to be honest with you, named Will Reichard or Reichard. Yeah, he has the most points in NCAA career, so he's definitely done a good job. He wasn't in my top two. Could be the best out of all of them, for all I know, but as far as what I saw, I really liked the other two. Yeah, I can see any of these guys helping your team out, Steve.
Well, good. I appreciate that information on the kickers, and we'll see what happens when it
Yes.
comes draft. That'd be exciting.
Yeah, it will. I think, next week when we talk about our mock draft, prior to talking about our teams, especially because we talk about our teams the most, we'll also mention the needs that we have. What needs do we have? We'll mention that before we give our projection to who think our teams are going to pick. So just for the listeners, we're going to, like I said, do a mock draft, really, of the first round, and we'll emphasize our favorite teams, of course. And if you're listening, maybe it's your favorite teams too, in the Baltimore Ravens and Minnesota Vikings. But Steve, what did you think of all of our talk about all the positions we've covered the last few episodes?
I think you did a good job of covering the positions, James. So all the players you had were in the top 10 or 12, pretty much of the listing that I was looking at. So yes, you did a great job of researching, and I appreciate that. We'll see what happens on the official day, becomes official and teams start picking, and the excitement of the trades and trades up and down, and we'll see if the Vikings can do something, pick
Yep.
up a quarterback.
Yes, that's going to be fun, especially for the Vikings, because, yeah, it's something fun about selecting a quarterback and the possibility, like you said, of combining those two number one picks and going up or whatever it happens to be. That's going to be fun to watch. And, we've hinted in the previous episodes, as we're coming to a close in a moment, we've hinted about we've had some times where we've been watching the draft and things have happened that we did not anticipate and some things we didn't like. I remember one time in particular, Steve, and then we'll close. A certain quarterback was taken that you did not approve of, and do have to tell the story very briefly. Steve and I weren't able to get together this one particular year, but we were watching live the draft, and we were conversing on the phone. We called each other, and we're like waiting for the pick for the Vikings was coming up. I was telling him who I thought they should pick, and he mentioned some names. And then I said, "Well, is there any quarterback?" He said, "No, no one around, anymore at this where the Vikings were picking." And all of a sudden, they come in with the pick, and it's a certain quarterback by the name of Christian Ponder. That was a reach, a reach.
A real
Everyone
reach.
said, "What?" And you sh I'll tell you what, listeners, you should have heard the silence on the other end of the phone with Mr. Steve, then just saying, "What?" He started screaming into the phone, "What's going on here? What do they do?" And I was laughing because I've been there with the Ravens with other positions as well. Steve, you recall that very well?
I recall very well. It's one of the worst
Yeah.
drafts that I was listening to for the Vikings in terms of who they picked. It was just a
Yeah.
far, far reach. And
Yeah.
he turned out, he didn't, it was shameful because just a lot of pressure on the young kid. And he's a good kid. It's just unfair, I think, for him put in that position. But I don't know what they saw that other people didn't see.
Well, I
But
know
yes,
that I
I was in
remember.
shock. I was in total shock. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. Well, I had my own share, with Kyle Bowler. Boy, that didn't turn out well at all. And even though he was projected to go in the first round, but I just didn't like him, and he was kind of a flash in the pan. He had a good senior year, and he could throw the ball with one knee on the ground through the uprights, just some silly stuff like that. And Brian Billick fell in
Yeah.
love with him. And oh my goodness. So, but we never know what's going to happen. That's the beauty
No, we
of the
don't.
draft. And another reason to watch the draft is really you get a lot of dreams coming true because these guys have been working and sweating blood for this opportunity that they're going to have next Thursday, Steve. And that's always nice to see, especially when some of them give glory to God, and you just see the tears, even happy tears. So that's a good part for those of you that are listening, and even our female audience, can enjoy that and see that. And I enjoy it, to be honest with you. I like to see dreams come true, and then of course hopefully we get the players we want. All right, Steve. Well, I know we got to bring this to a close. So is there anything you'd like to add before we close?
No, I hope everybody has a great week, and we'll look forward to a draft coming up.
Yes, I second that. This has been All Things Purple, the only podcast devoted to the Baltimore Ravens and the Minnesota Vikings. Really, there's just one thing left to say as we get ready for NFL draft next Thursday, and that is go Ravens and
Go Vikings.
Have a great week and God bless you. Bye-bye.